Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First week of the month already. And as always, we find ourselves in Columbus with Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello and welcome. It's November.
Yeah, it is. it kind of snuck up on us, but it's a beautiful day outside today. And I appreciate the fact that it's a little dry out there, but the weather is certainly enticing. This is why we live in Indiana, right? This time of year. Yeah, it's beautiful outside. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah, happy Halloween last night. Everything go okay in Columbus and the weekend for the holiday?
Our Halloween hours run from 5:30 to 8. And I know at our house, we had quite a few trick-or-treaters, but the number dwindled off. And I don't think we had anybody after about 7:40, 7:45. So, you know, there's always a question, you know, when do you start? When do you end? And, you know, you've got little kids that want to get out and do so a little earlier while it is light out. You've got older kids who, you know, would prefer to wait a little while, and maybe they want the, you know, the whole 2.5 hours. They, you know, got a lot of homes they want to hit. But we do want to finish up before it gets too dark, because we are concerned a little bit about safety for those who are walking around on the streets and the roadways. But there weren't any incidents last night, and the weather was pretty close to perfect. So it was a great time, great evening.
What was this? Is it trick or trash program that I heard about?
Well, yeah, it's something we're trying to start. Has to do with the wrappers that a lot of the candy comes in. You know, when I was a kid, you know, a lot of the candy was homemade, but we don't encourage that today. We encourage givers to go to the store, buy some pre-wrapped, pre-packaged treats. And then there's always a question about what do you do with the wrappers. And so we've got couple boxes around town that are set up to accept those wrappers, and we'll see that they get put to another good use.
Interesting. First time I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Have to see how that goes. Well, let's get to city council news. One of the main items I want to talk about was a follow-up from last month, and you explained about redistricting city council boundaries. Right. There was a vote already scheduled a month ago. Now there's a final vote for Tuesday night. Brief synopsis of what this is about and what you expect the vote to be tonight.
Sure. There's two things going on here. One is that every 10 years in this country, we have a census. It's required by the Constitution. And so the 2020 census data is available to us. And so with each census, we take a look at the city council districts to try to make sure that they are as balanced as we can make them. And so we want to make sure, again, that the population numbers are about the same from one district to the next. And as is happening in Columbus, I mean, we have more growth on the west side, which is in District 2, than we have on the other areas or other sides of the community. There may be an apartment complex or two or three that get built that might change the population. So it's important for us to look at that. And as I say, we do that once every 10 years anyway. Sort of coincidental with that, with this review, we are looking to switch from 5 city council districts to 6. And that'll be as part of our switch from a Class 3 city to a Class 2 city. We made that decision a month or two ago. And so we have to provide not only for a rebalancing of the existing districts, but the addition of a 6th district. And so in essence, we'll go from 5 districts that had about 7,000 population each to 6 districts. So it'll be somewhere around 5,600. And it won't be exactly that. I mean, it's just never easy to get these all lined up the way we might like. But because we basically, at the end of the day, we're using precinct boundaries, which is an even smaller division of the politics. And so we assign precincts to districts. We try not to split a precinct. I mean, we want to transfer them whole when we can. And so in this particular iteration, we have no split precincts. We feel pretty good about that. And we have relatively consistent numbers in terms of population across the board. As I mentioned, we're going from Class 3 to Class 2. So in addition to going from 5 to 6 districts, we will go from 2 to 3 at-large positions. So the city council today is comprised of 7 voting members, and that will go to 9. You'll add 1 at-large and the said 1 district. And those additions will take place or will be effective 1/1/24, but they will show up on the ballots that we have in 23. So we'll have a municipal election, golly, sometime first week of May, and we'll have an opportunity to vote on 9 council seats instead of 7. We'll also see a change with respect to the clerk treasurer's position. The clerk treasurer will go away. I mean, that position goes away and it's replaced by a clerk position. The city will hire a chief financial officer, a controller, as the name will give to that, or the title will give to that person. The mayor's office experiences no change with respect to the voting. It'll have a little bit of a change with respect to duties. Today, the mayor serves as the chair of the city council, prepares the agenda for those meetings, and that will change. The city council will elect a president who will serve as chair, and that person will be responsible for the agenda. So it's going to be a little different, but every city in Indiana that is our size or larger has already made the switch to Class 2, and we're from that perspective, we're a little bit late to the party, but I think the current arrangements have served us well, but as we can't contemplate going forward, I think we'll be better served by the different arrangements. So that'll take effect 1/1/24, but you'll begin to see it on the 2023 ballots.
Meridium Broadband Project is underway in Bloomington. They have a central office or moving into one in downtown Bloomington in the 4th Street parking garage, retail space. So I assume they're getting ready to break ground in Columbus. Any news on that?
They're on schedule is what I know. They have appeared before the county council and city council and told us, you know, what the plans are. And I anticipate if we're lucky, you know, people may be able to sign up early in 24. My guess is it's going to be the second quarter, you know, before they start accepting customers here. But this is a pretty big deal. We'll have gigabit speeds, 1 gig up, 1 gig down. And we're kind of excited about bringing that to not just Columbus, but the entire county of Bartholomew. And I say the entire county, I mean, I think they've chosen 85% of the residences as their target. So it'll almost be, you know, the whole county. I'm sure there'll be a few spots they can't get to. But we've worked pretty hard to get them here, as has the county of Bartholomew. And it'll put both of our communities, Bloomington and Columbus, among the most wired in the nation, and should make us all the more attractive to those people who wish to work remotely and just, you know, stay plugged in from, from the comfort of their porch or their couch or wherever.
Well, we reported a month ago, I think Gigabit Now is the initial ISP, and residents can actually pre-register now online. But this is also to get broadband internet to low-income residents too, right?
Right. Yeah, because during the pandemic, we found out something that maybe we thought existed, but we needed a little bit of proof or evidence. And that was that while all of Columbus was connected to the internet, or the internet was available, you know, we had some places that were, well, they weren't dark, so to speak, but they were brown, you know, or they weren't, the speeds weren't high enough to accommodate at-home learning, you know. And so part of what we wanted to be able to do is provide the speed that requires throughout the community. So that's step number one. Step number two was we found out that there were many places that just didn't have internet available. I mean, many residences that did not, because the household couldn't afford it. And so there are several programs available to accommodate broadband access to at-risk families or at-risk students. And so we'll be pursuing those as well. And again, that should help us attain the 85, or I'm hopeful, even a higher percentage than that in terms of being able to get connected.
I want to get an update on Nexus Park. I thought the Republic did a nice feature a week or so ago that construction is underway. It's a former mall for a new recreation facility, but there are still open businesses inside. So can you give us an update on the construction progress and how those businesses are doing?
Well, I think the businesses are doing pretty well, particularly those that are related to the sports industry. We continue to have a pretty strong sports tourism business here in Columbus, and we have Lincoln Park, which is a place for softball and baseball. It's just across 25th Street to the south of Nexus Park. And so from that perspective, the location works out really well. We've got a few other businesses in there, the restaurants and a couple of retail shops that tell us that they're continuing to do okay, but they all realize that something really special is headed their way. And so they want to hang around and be able to participate in that when it comes. You know, we have done the demolition work that's necessary to make the area clear for the field house. And we expect construction on the field house to start sometime in February. We've got, what's the phrase, a ton of steel? I mean, we've got a lot of steel coming. They told us it's 115 truckloads that will build the field house that we're putting on the north edge of Nexus Park. And, you know, with that, we expect to see, you know, as maybe as 40,000 users a month to come visit that space. That'll be on top of what CRH, Columbus Regional Health, anticipates in their space, which is somewhere around 1,000 visitors a week. So we expect the place to be very busy. And so with a lot of those people milling around, I think it's going to be a good place for retail, for restaurants and the like. We anticipate being able to host tournaments, softball, volleyball, you know, just about any kind of space that, or any kind of facility that needs a significant indoor space, any kind of activity, I should have said, that needs a significant indoor space. And we're hopeful that we can put this all online about January of 24. So sometime in maybe the second quarter of 23, we will begin, once we get some confidence from our contractors that we're going to be able to meet this deadline, we'll begin to accept reservations for events in January and February of 24. So things are on schedule. We feel pretty good about that. We've begun to request proposals with respect to a build out of the park space. This is the old JCPenney space. That would be in a different part of the mall, but that's where we will transition the Parks Department to. And that's probably a little bit later in terms of timing, but it too is it's pretty close to on schedule.
And same, could you say the same for budget too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So far, our numbers are coming in okay. We hired a construction manager, a company called Taylor Brothers, which if you're from Columbus, you're probably familiar with the name. They have just done an excellent job of helping us, sort of maneuver through the choices that you need to make with respect to building materials and, you know, how tall to make your walls and where to make your corners and, you know, things that I don't necessarily value, but they tell us make a big difference with respect to how much something costs. And so they've been helpful in terms of the design and selecting them, the contractors, and have been able to keep us on budget, on schedule as well.
You know, I've seen snippets and heard about the Air Park development, and I believe it's a project happening over at the airport there in Columbus, but I'm not sure, is that something that the city is looking to for economic development?
Right. The city owns the airport. We've got a separate board, you know, that manages that property for us, and there's just a whole lot going on out there, and we would like for there to be a whole lot more. But as you can well imagine, I mean, right now we've got runways, we've got a terminal building, we've got hangars. We've also got a fair number of commercial enterprises that have rented ground upon which they have built a building. You know, it's a little unusual for this part of the country, but most of the ground out there is owned by the airport board and then made available to the tenants pursuant to a ground lease that in many cases lasts for 99 years. So it's really the same as ownership. It's just a little bit different format that we don't see a lot in this part of the country. But the airport board wants to try to expand the commercial activities out there. And so I think where we're headed here is that tonight at the city council meeting, we will review a resolution that would authorize the redevelopment commission to spend a little bit over $1 million to extend Grissom Drive. And the whole notion would be to open it up for further development to, you know, to bring traffic to a few lots that today are that you can't access. And so, you know, make that a little bit more attractive to businesses. Because in the end, that tends to feed, you know, what we're trying to do here. I mean, it the property taxes that those businesses pay help support what goes on out at the airport. And, I don't know that there's a direct tie between those businesses and landoffs or landoffs, landings or takeoffs. But yeah, we're trying to see that we promote and use the ground out there to its fullest advantage. And year over year, that's been agriculture. But we think we can do a little bit better with some commercial development. And that's really what's driving this.
Is there enough traffic to the airport to bring commercial retail? Or is it, you think, in the opposite, where if you bring the commercial and retail, more people would come and be part of that air space?
Yeah, that's one of those chicken or egg, you know, kind of questions. At this point, we don't have enough traffic out there to draw retail. And we're close enough to National Road that any retail that would be interested would just as soon go down there and pick up traffic that's you know, got nothing to do with the airport. Because, you know, again, it's all car centric, right? I mean, we're all going to be driving around in our automobiles, and it's really easy to get from the airport down to National Road and access all the retail activities that are there. So I think the long term, we would like to see some retail up at the airport, but it's going to be a while, you know, before we were able to generate sufficient traffic in terms of people to warrant that.
I have to ask you about the Exhibit Columbus Public by Design Symposium held just recently. Any indication how this year's event went? Were you there? Were you able to go to any of it?
Well, no, I was not there. We were out of town that weekend, and it was just kind of unfortunate. But the indication that I've received was that it was extremely well put on and well received. We had an event or two here at City Hall, and so I've had a chance to talk to our staff people who participated in that, or at least observed it, and they were very complimentary, you know, about the quality of the event and the attendance and so forth. It's just really interesting. I mean, part of what we're trying to do with Landmark Columbus is to make sure that the people who live here understand how unique the architectural legacy is that we have and how valuable it is to us. And part of the way we do that is we invite people from all over the world to come to Columbus. And those who live here from time to time express kind of an amazement. Why would somebody from Germany come to Columbus? You know, why would somebody from Australia or Japan? And the answer is, yeah, it really is that special. Landmark Columbus, the symposium that they put on this past week, or about 2 weekends ago, I guess, is really important to us in terms of making or helping people understand, you know, the value of the legacy that we have and its value to us. So I was happy to see it do well.
Well, I know we're about out of time, but I did want to mention the Indiana Chamber mentioning Columbus receiving the Community of the Year, and you didn't even know you were nominated.
No, you know, it's, the communities, and there's all kinds of awards out there, you know, that are bestowed upon communities from one year to the next. And I've learned in my time here that you often start the process by nominating yourself. and I'm pleased to report that in this case, we did not do that. I mean, the president of the Indiana Chamber called me and he said, you know, surprise, you're our award winner for 2022-23. You know, you're the Community of the Year. And I was sort of joking with him that I didn't quite understand what we had done to earn that honor. And he said, no, you didn't nominate yourself, but it's just in recognition for all the neat things that are going on in Columbus. And so from my perspective, it's a whole lot more than what might be going on right at city government. We've just got a variety of institutions in our community that function well. You know, I talk about the school system, Columbus Regional Health, the Chamber, the Visitor Center. There are just several things. The Community Foundation, the United Way. If I start naming them, I'm afraid I'm going to leave somebody out. But we've got a variety of things that work very well here in Columbus. And so I think it's a recognition that all of us can share and all of us need to celebrate. So yeah, November 16th, there will be the annual meeting for the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. And that's when we'll receive the formal designation. And they've said it's black tie optional. So for the first time since my daughter's wedding, I'm going to go out, rent a tuxedo and go up there and try to look the part.
Well, congratulations on that. And we're out of time, but I always like to leave the last word to you. Anything else you'd like to say or any important announcements?
No, I'll just repeat that we're the community of the year, you know, and we're going to figure out a way to promote that. I anticipate having a lot of, I think they're called door stickers or some adhesive, something you can put on a door, you know, so you put it right there by the handle. And every time you reach to, you know, coming in inside a city facility, you'll be reminded that we are the community of the year. And so we're going to have some fun with this. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks again so much for your time, and we'll see you in December.
Look forward to it. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.